Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see you. Welcome to Bayshore Gardens Community Church. Would you please stand as we sing, He Has Made Me Glad. What are you doing? Good to see you. Hey, while you're up, has he made you glad?
Yes.
Oh, good. Show somebody next to you. All right. Y'all may have a seat for a minute. You want to come down here on the first row, or you want to stay on the second row? I can still talk to you from the second row. You can sit wherever you want. Hey, how we doing this morning? Good to see you. In Sunday school this morning, we are talking about this idea, and you tell me if you think it's true. Do you matter to God?
Yes.
Oh, Aiden, we're waiting for you. Come on. You can do it. Everybody say, hey, Aiden. Hey, say, come on, Aiden. Hey. Let's go. So good to see you. I heard you hit a double over the weekend. Is that true? Baseball? It's going well? So the question is, do you matter to God? Some of you said yes. Who said yes? Okay, good. I have a follow-up question if you got your hand up. How do you know?
Because God loves us so much that we're like stars in the sky.
God loves you so much that you're like stars in the sky. That's pretty awesome. You know God loves you because he died for you. Good. He does. You're right. He does love me. He loves me, and that's why he died for me. Okay, very good. How about our children's ministry, by the way? Yes. Good job, teachers. Very good. Okay. Leandra and then Ariana.
You know, he cares and he loves and he'll do anything for us because he died for us and he like gave his whole life and just he went helping everybody just to at the end everybody turn on and die. And for his feelings to be like that, he's still at the very last second of his breath, he was still forgiving.
Even at the end, when Jesus was being crucified, he was still forgiving and still loving. That is deep insight. Very good. Thank you.
I know he loves us because he created this world for us, and he created the people who would make us be alive.
He loves us, and we matter to him because he created us and created the world around us. Good, good. Let's pray together. Oh, and he made me. The jury's still out on that one a little bit. Let's pray, and you all are going to go off to Sunday school. And Miss Frenny, you are teaching today? And Alicia. Okay. Oh, hey, Jackson. I missed you. Good morning. You want to go to Sunday school in a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to pray with us? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dear God, fold your hands. Pray with me. Dear God. Thank you, for loving us.
Help us
to love you,
and love others.
Amen. Amen. You're going to have a great morning in Sunday school. Good to see you. We'll have breakfast together afterwards.
I will see you later.
I'll see you later. They got a little bit of energy this morning. Choir, you ready?
Yeah.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 33. You know the drill. We will read responsibly. It will appear on the screen behind me in front of you. I will say, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." And you say, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Amen and amen. The way that we handle here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church, the prayer of confession and confession time, is that we pray corporately, which means all of us together, and in that unison prayer, it will appear on the screen here. Following that time, we all will have some quiet time for prayer and confession. So I'll invite you to join me with the prayer of confession. We confess to you, O God, that we have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and are not worthy to be called your children. We have forgotten you and have broken your holy laws. We have been wayward and disobedient. We have been selfish and unkind. For the sake of your dear Son, our Savior, we humbly ask you to pardon our sins, to make clean our hearts within us, and to grant us your peace. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us go before the Lord in quiet prayer. The words of assurance come from 1 John chapter 1. This is verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please stand as we sing together, "More Love to Thee"?
Thank you.
You may be seated. So, the week leading up to church, there were a couple big church calendar days, Tuesday and Wednesday. Anybody? Ash Wednesday and Fat Tuesday. Thank you for knowing that it was Mardi Gras on Tuesday. Yes. That was history. And hey, we're going to call it like we see it, right? But the way that Mardi Gras has come about is that the Christians, you let me know if you fall into that camp, knew that Ash Wednesday was coming, and that was a time to be serious and penitent and sorrowful before the Lord and serious about the faith. So on Tuesday, the Christians decided they were going to get together and they were going to just sin all day long so that they would have something to be forgiven for on Ash Wednesday. Right? And that's the history of Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. And so now we are in this season that starts on Ash Wednesday and goes until Easter. And that church season is called what? Lent. Right? And common practice, in fact, I'll even ask you, show of hands, have any of you ever given something up during Lent? Yeah, about half of us. Are you able to say without ruining the blessing of what you know someone else gave up? Chocolate? Yeah. Smoking? You're not supposed to eat meat? I'm supposed to eat meat. The Bible says, get up, kill, eat, Peter. Don't you push that on me. Not supposed to eat meat. Oh. Anybody giving anything up for Lent that you want to share? The common practice, right, and this is because you know this, before you give up these things, is that you would take something that you feel like maybe has more control over your life than it should. And you say for the season of Lent, 6 weeks, I'm going to give this up. And every time that thing crosses into my thoughts, whether it's I wish I had a cigarette, boy, I could go for a piece of chocolate, really would love a T-bone steak or a cheeseburger, then you take that time and spend that time in prayer and worship and reading God's word. It's not that you give something up to be miserable, because let me ask you this. Why would God create a season where you're supposed to be miserable? I don't think he would. So don't misuse Lent. But to replace a habit that maybe isn't healthy with a time of worship, that's a good, if you just give something up and you replace it with being grouchy, you're not being a good Christian, all right? There is no fruit of the Spirit in you at that point. I have asked you to consider that instead of giving something up during the season of Lent, that you would instead give the church 1 hour and join a small group Bible study. And there's a sign up out here. This is a good Sunday for you to sign up, because we're going to start this week. This would be a good, but to spend 1 hour a week getting together with a small group of some other folks in the church, talking about some real basic things of the faith. And you guys are all set to lead and facilitate, and you're set up, and you've got a plan, and it's to see some of the folks rising up to going, yeah, I can open my home, or yeah, I can walk everybody through. So here we are in this season of Lent. The question that we're going to wrestle with until Easter through a sermon series is this: what on earth am I here for? I mean, that's the question you're asking. You're not asking, what on earth is Dustin here for? Right? You're asking, what on earth are you here for? What is your purpose? Give you a hint. Your purpose is more than taking up a seat on the pew an hour a week. Your purpose is more than eking out, grinding out an existence that doesn't leave you feeling joy, peace, fulfillment. So I asked the children during children's time, do you matter to God? And they all said, yeah. Let me ask you, do you matter to God? I want you to think about, do you believe that? I know you know what the answer is supposed to be. But without answering out loud. I mean, what happens in here when I say, do you matter to God? Do your insides go, yeah. Yeah, I do. I got all these stories in my life and my faith is just set on. Or do you go, I don't know. Where has he been? That's what we're going to wrestle with today. I would say to you that what the Bible teaches, and we've seen this influx through our new member classes of some Presbyterians. And I don't know how that happened, but hey, God is good all the time, you know? And we love Presbyterians as much as we love anybody else. But the Reformed Church of America brand and the Presbyterian brand have as kind of their theme song that God is sovereign, right? That you cannot thwart God's purpose. You can't, that God is always in the mix. That somehow, some way, God is always at work and cannot be thwarted. And we look at the passages of Scripture that nod to that. And so I would say to you, with full confidence in the backing of the Bible, you are not an accident. You matter to God. If God is the creator of life, and here you are having a life, well, what the Bible says is that even before the universe was created, God had you in mind. And he planned you for his purpose and his purposes. And these purposes will extend far beyond these years on earth. You see, you were made and you were created to last forever. Anybody kind of feeling like their earthly shell starting to wear out a little bit? Okay, well, at the end of this life, before you go to the next one, you get to get rid of this one. You get to trade this one in. The search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands and thousands of years, right? It just didn't come about with the invention of college, and every college kid is sitting around a picnic table at 3 o'clock in the morning coming down from their beer buzz going, what do you think we're here for, man? People have been asking that question for a long time. And we've been puzzled for a long time because typically we ask the wrong question. So we begin at the wrong starting point. We ask self-centered questions like this. What am I supposed to do with my life? What do I want to be? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? What are my dreams for the future? But focusing on ourselves is never going to reveal our life's purpose. Job chapter 12 reads this. It is God who directs the lives of his creatures. Everyone's life is in his power. So to find your purpose, we've got to begin with God, your creator. And we've got to start with his reasons for creating you. You were made by God and for God. By God's power, for God's purpose. And until you get to a point where you walk in that truth, your life is not going to make sense. Because it is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, our destiny. The scripture for this morning that I'd like you to hold on to, and as you start to move into your small groups, this will be the one that you guys will be saying to each other. You'll be encouraged to memorize it. And it says from Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 2. It is only verse 2. God says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Would you say it with me? I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. You remember where that comes from? Isaiah 44. And what does it say? You're halfway there to memorizing it. So for those of you who are going, I don't know if I can be in a small group Bible study. I don't really have that much of the Bible memorized. You got this verse memorized? Why are you alive? Leland, that's a question you and I have kind of been talking about at fellowship time, dancing around when we've talked about some of your story, right? You're still here. Clearly, God still has a purpose. He's not finished with you yet. Why were you born? Jeremiah was just really good sometimes at whining, right? Not the bullfrog, the prophet. Jeremiah in the Bible, right? Jeremiah chapter 20, 18, Jeremiah says, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace? What a whiner. None of us have ever whined like that, right? Oh, my goodness. All right, so we can relate to Jeremiah when he goes, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble? We get that. Why are you alive? You were made by God for God's purpose. And until you get to a point where you go, okay, got it. I was made by God for God. Life is going to be confusing. Proverbs 16 says, the Lord made everything for his own purpose. You fit under the umbrella of everything. Why were you born? Why were you made? Here's what I'm going to suggest the answer is. God created you to be loved. That's what I think. I use the Bible to find my answer. Ephesians 1. Long before God laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. Ephesians 1:4, long before God laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. You were made to be loved. You thought you were made to pay bills. But that's not it. You have to pay bills. Well, and play out the two scenarios, right? You go through life thinking that my purpose is to pay bills, you're going to be miserable. You go through life thinking that my purpose is to be loved by God, it's a different focus. It's a totally different life. That's a totally different mindset, perspective, attitude. It affects every single day, every single interaction in every day, affects every single relationship. So let me ask, and maybe you want to keep the answer to yourself. Does your life matter? Come on, there are 7 bajillion people on this planet. Does your life matter? I totally believe you and I agree with you. I was just trying to. I think your life does matter. Your life matters to me, but even more importantly, because who am I? Your life matters to God. He's crazy about you. Does your life matter? Isaiah 49, my work all seems so useless. I'm pretty sure I've heard Isaiah say that at coffee hour after church. My work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing, for no purpose at all. Has the thought ever crossed your mind? My work all seems so useless. What in the world am I doing? But then the answer to that, well, Matt, it's Isaiah 44. You guys remember this from 4 minutes ago? I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Go ahead. Mutter it. God can handle you being disgruntled. It all seems so useless. And God says, I'm your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. This constant reminder. You were in my care even before you were born. You are not an accident. Maybe you can make the case that there are some accidental parents that maybe feel that way. But there are no accidental births. There might be illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. There might be unplanned pregnancies, but there are no people without a purpose. God wanted you in this world. You are not an accident. Right? We love Psalm 139. God, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How long were you made to live? I mean, the joints start wearing out. Some of you, your hair's falling out, changing color. So with improvements in medicine and nutrition, we're stretching it out a little bit longer. How long were you made to live for? One word. You get one word to answer.
One word.
When God. No. That's two words. When God is two words. Who said forever? Everybody clap for Jeannie. That's it. Yes. You were made to live forever. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. And that soul goes on when you shed your dude suit. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us, a home he himself has made, which will last forever. 2 Corinthians 5:1. So then, what is your purpose? The only way to know your purpose is to ask the Creator. The only way to know your purpose is to ask your Creator. You find your purpose by knowing God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, if you're taking notes. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him, and everything finds its purpose in him. Ephesians 1:11. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. There you go. By knowing God, we find our purpose. When Caleb's my son, the Caleb not from the Old Testament, the Caleb from offspring of Dustin, was born. In fact, both the kids. There was a comment that was commonly said about the newborn Sedlak children, and it made one of their parents smile, and it made the other parent not smile. And they come out, and they were little, they were C-section babies, which are typically prettier, right, than non-C-section. I was trying to figure out how to work that out in my head, language-wise. But very quickly, they took on a certain identity. And the common thread has been, for a long time, a sentence that says something like this. Well, there ain't no doubt who their dad is. Guess we know who their dad is, right? And I think that makes me smile. What do you call the baby doctor? Ginger is a pediatrician, right? The first time that both of the kids went to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician was really off the wall and really cool and just didn't operate like you think a doctor is supposed to. It was just really kind of wild and just kind of, you know, like Jack Sparrow, but a female doctor. And Kate and Grace, the first time we took Kate and Grace in there, the doctor goes, "Whoa, guess we know who has the strong DNA here." It's one thing, obviously, right? You've met my children, aside from the beard. Both my kids, they resemble their dad. You were made in the image of our Heavenly Father. I know who your father is. I can tell by looking at you. I see it on you. I see it in you. You are made in the image of God. On purpose, not by accident. And you'll find out why next week. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are not an accident, Thank you for being so caring, so loving in creating us and giving us a purpose. Sometimes when it seems hard and when it seems useless and when it seems pointless, we struggle. And instead of struggling this week, would you remind us of you saying to us, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Would you etch those words in our hearts as we meet in our small group Bible studies this week? Would you help us to rally around each other, rally around this verse, encourage to one another that we are in your care, God, even before we were born? Would you help us to look more and more like you, being made in your image? As we leave this place, would you grow and shine in us in a way that you can see and that you are pleased by the way that we live, by the way that we love? If we were in fact created, and we believe this, to be loved, God, would you help us to know that love more and more? Help us to pause and seek you, even right now. Stir in this place, O God. Hear the prayers in our hearts. Hear the cries of our souls. Hear the joy, the gratitude. In these and all things, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who has taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen. As the music plays, we take a moment to meditate and respond how we will give back our lives to God. And as the ushers come forward, this is the time for our regular members to give their tithes and offering. We thank you, oh God, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. With the best indication of our gratitude be the way that we live as we leave this place. It's one thing to say that we're grateful. It's one thing to say thank you. It would be something entirely different for us to live as people with gratitude in our hearts. And that's what we want to do. So would you help us? Would you hear us saying thank you? Would you see us living out thank you? In your great name we pray. Amen.
And when I think that God is Son, not Spirit. Send Him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, yes, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, how great the heart, how great the heart. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, where you gonna go and take me home? What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great You are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. We thank You, oh God. Thank You for Your goodness. Amen.
Do you want to stand for the announcements or do you want to sit? All right, you can sit. When you sit for the announcements, it encourages Roy and I to take longer. So you answered, but now you got the fruit of that.
Are we on? Hello?
Wait for it. Try now.
Okay. We're on. Okay.
Oh, yes, sir.
Good morning, everybody. What a great service. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful message, Dustin. Thank you very much. update on the photographs and the directory. We're making great progress. Thank you all for your cooperation. Many, many, many of you have signed up. However, some of you filled out an information sheet and didn't get an appointment. And so Inga is working with you. She's calling around to get you on both documents. You need to have the information sheet, and you need to have an appointment to get your picture made. April 4, 5, and 6, I have a weekly call with Life Touch, the company that's doing the directory. I plan to have another call with them on Thursday, so I'll get an update from Inga this morning. Out in the lobby, there's a literature table, much literature on there that will answer all of your questions. There's a coupon discount for military, family photographs as well as your particular photograph that goes in the directory. Look at that table. Get the information. Some of you I know, Jeannie, you're one. There are some others who can't be here. There's a card out there to fill out to go off-site and get your picture made before you leave town. So if you can't be in the directory when the day, I mean, get your picture made on those three dates, get one of those cards, give it to me. We'll get that arranged for you. Thank you again for all of your cooperation. We're making great progress. Most of you have signed up, and it looks like it's going to be a great directory. So I'm looking forward to getting all of this together. One other detail, and I'll be contacting the committee. I have four people who are working with me on the committee. I'm going to need four more to man the registration tables during the days because there's a long schedule each day. And so if we can break it up where two people take two shifts each day, then we can manage that without any problem. So I'll be in touch with a few more of you to ask your help on manning the tables. Any questions this morning before I step down? Go to the table, get the registration, the material, and see me if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. Oh, I do have a question. Where are the pictures being taken? Where?
We haven't decided, but probably.
But it's going to be on the church somewhere here.
Yes.
Good. Just for clarification, church directory pictures are not being taken at my house. Those of you who showed up this week thinking that you were going to get your church picture taken in my living room during dinner time, I can take your picture. It's just not going to end. We're going to take the picture here. Man, we never know. When there's a knock on the door, we just never know. Dinner is just one of those things. It's fun. Out here in the hallway, you're able to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet for the in-home small group Bible studies that are starting this week. There is, in your bulletin, a school supply list for all the supplies that we are gathering for the elementary school. We still are on the prowl for wanting to hunt down, recruit, and train another Sunday school teacher or two. You can talk to me if you got a question about that. There is a new member class today. That is going to be in the building behind the fellowship hall at 10:30. Building room number 3. Matt, that's the correct number where we have consistory, right? There's consistory meeting this Tuesday. Training is at 6:30. This Saturday, the church rummage sale right through there. That's going to be exciting. If you're bringing stuff and you want to know about when the best time to drop that stuff is, check in with Ginger. I know we don't have a fully updated church directory, but I think we've got an updated enough contact list that I'm going to give you a couple names and ask that somebody would reach out to them this week. Is someone able to give Alice Gladney a call this week and check on her?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Lolly McClellan, somebody able to give Lolly a call? Lolly was not able to be in church this morning. Sherelle Evans, could somebody give Sherelle Evans a call? Going once, going twice. Who can do it? Thank you, Chuck. Ronnie Van Dyke had a fall last week and was in the hospital and is now back home and doing really well, but would appreciate somebody giving her a phone call. Who can do it? Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sal. Very good. Any other announcements that I missed? Let's stand for the benediction. Thank you for being here this morning. I sure hope that two things. One, you'll come back next week. And two, you'll join us for breakfast. Ooh, this is one thing. And I didn't do it last week because I was trying to get you out on time, but I'm going to do it this week. So in this season that we're in, this season of preparation for Easter that we call Lent, there's this thing that happens in people's hearts and minds who don't normally go to church. But as we gear up towards, right, Christmas and Easter, people kind of get open to the idea of, I should go to church. Okay, well, if they think maybe they should go to church, you have got to invite them. Right now, inside of yourself, whisper in your heart a name of someone that you probably ought to invite here for Easter. Bring them. I mean, do you love this church? I love this church. Share it. If they're thinking, man, I ought to come to church. It's Easter time. That means they're just waiting for someone to tell them which one they ought to go to. And when they get here, I'm going to tell them the same thing that I tell you. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and God has purpose in putting you there, and God's purpose is this. Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you, with you, and through you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, believe that. Go from this place certain of God's grace, God's love, God's power. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless y'all real good. Amen. Amen. See you at breakfast.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great.